scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, in left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Well, we have got a lot to talk about on this Friday edition of Flames Talk. It's Friday, January 10th. We have a Connor Zary update for you. We have the Flames should be midway through their season, but because of the postponed game Wednesday, 40 down, 42 to go. The Flames have recalled Rory Karens from the American League. There's a lot going on this Friday, January 10th. Here at the Hot Stove Lounge, it's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you. And we're going to kick off this hour of Flames Talk by also saying hello to the general manager, Craig Conroy, is with us here in the Hot Stove Lounge with a lot to talk about. Connie, how are we doing?
Good. Yeah, been busy couple days, so... You know, with the postponement of the game in LA and then, you know, all the stuff you're talking about, it's been busy.
Well, that Connor Zary news, that has to be a look. You never want to see a guy go down and go down the way Connor did. But the update is no surgery needed after an evaluation process, but he's going to be missing from the lineup for an indefinite period. So there's still some bad news in there, but the good news is no surgery needed, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be back in the immediate future, but he definitely is going to be back at some point this year. So that's the positive. You know, I think we've had two ACLs, and to go through this one and then not know exactly what's going on, and then to find out we don't need surgery and we can just rehab and get him back, that's a huge positive for us.
You just don't know a timeline right now because it's still so early, right? Like, that's something that you get figured out going forward?
Yeah, you want to see how he responds. I mean, he'll do his treatment. He'll go through all the stuff. And, you know, that's why it's so hard to put a timeline on anything. You have to see how his knee responds and then go from there. So, you know, that's why right now it is indefinite. And then, you know, as we move along and we see how he responds to the treatment, then we'll have kind of updates as
okay.
we move forward.
Obviously, you don't like to lose a player ever, but the way he has been playing, the way that he's really turned into an offensive driver, and his second full NHL season, still pretty gutted for him, aren't you?
Well, you know, it's so hard. He was so excited. His game was really coming. I mean, playing center, you know, it took a little while, but I really felt like it was coming together. I thought him, Pelche, and Sharon Govich, even though they haven't been scoring, you watch in practice, you feel like it's coming. It's coming, it's coming. And, you know, he's such a dynamic player with the puck. He's so good, you know, one-on-one in those situations, and he scored big goals for us this year. So we're going to, you know, we're really going to miss him, but to know there was an opportunity, hopefully at some point, to get him back, you know, now someone else has got to pick it up,
yep.
And we got to move forward.
Is the fact that we're having a conversation and you know, this has been hanging over the team since Tuesday, and people have been wondering, like, what's happening with Connor? You know, when are we going to find out how long he's out? That's kind of a testament to just how much he's developed in a very short period of time here since coming into the lineup about 14 months ago to now. Like, this has been one of the real success stories for your group, hasn't it?
He really has. I mean, he's just taken a step, and we've asked him to do way more. I mean, to play, you know, play wing last year is one thing. To have him come in and play center this year, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot defensively, and he's done a great job. I know his minutes have come down a little bit when he plays center, but he also, you know, there's a lot more work. It's a lot harder to play center, and I think he's done he did an admirable job at the time, and it just felt like it was getting better and better each game and each day, and now all of a sudden we got to, you know, sit back, regroup, and, you know, make sure he's 100% ready to go when it's time.
Craig, understanding, you know, his frustration and disappointment and whatever the right word might be, like, what do you tell a kid like Connor who's going to take some time now for rehab? Like, what do you tell him to sort of start to move it forward?
Well, you know, just listen to the staff, listen to the doctors, and we just have to take our time. We can't rush things just to rush them. We want to make sure, you know, we're looking at the long term, not the short term. We got to make sure you're 100% ready and you feel comfortable when you come back, you're ready to go. And it's just, hey, this is a little, bump in the road. That's all it is. It happens to everybody. I've had it happen. Every guy that's played in the NHL, it's a physical game. There are injuries. You know, you always hope there isn't, but when you have them, it's just how you respond. Just got to be diligent, got to do all the work. You know, if they tell you to ice, if they tell you everything they do, we have to make sure we follow the plan, and then hopefully we get back sooner than later.
I don't want to put a positive spin on an injury because that's never the case. You know, you never want to see a guy come out of the lineup, but lots of, I think, Flames fans excited to hear Rory Cairns was called up this morning,
yep,
was on the ice with your group for practice. What did Rory do to deserve to be here today?
Well, I think he, you know, obviously what he's done in the American League, he went down there, he played, he's an all-star. You know, he has 21 goals. He's doing everything we've asked of him, and we're in a position where we are with the Wranglers because of a lot of what Rory has done. And I think he's proven to us that he deserves this opportunity. And now, you know, as a management group and coaching staff, we brought him up. Now, you know, we'll have to get him in the lineup at some point and see what he can do. But he definitely has earned the call up. And, you know, just to see him out there today, he looked good. I mean, making plays, good with the puck. I'd like to see him shoot a little bit harder. It looks like he was being a little bit soft coming in. I didn't want to shoot it too hard. But, you know, I'll have that conversation with him tomorrow. I didn't see him today. But shoot to score, kid. It's the NHL. They got equipment on.
A lot's been made of the fact, you know, especially as he sort of rocketed onto the radar with those 21 goals with the Wranglers, a lot's been made of the fact that he was not in any preseason games. And I remember a conversation you and I had several weeks ago. You said, yeah, that I kind of wish I had a do-over on that. But how have you seen him maybe use that in the right way?
Well, I mean, yeah, he said disappointed he didn't get to be in one of the main groups and disappointed that he wasn't in any of the games, but you know, he'll go down and be ready to play when he's with the Wranglers, and he 100% did that. I mean, that was you know, he had a good attitude though. He came into camp in much better shape this year. He was ready to go, and when he got the opportunity, he seized it. And that's all you can ask for the players to do, and he earned this call up.
One of the things that I think is important, and I even remember having this conversation when Connor Zary came up in November 2023, and like, it would be awesome if Karen jumps right in whenever he gets in the lineup, whether it's Saturday or down the road. And Ryan Huska said today that, you know, it's a matter of if, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when he gets into the lineup. But like, if it doesn't work right away, if it doesn't click right away, that doesn't mean that what he's done this year hasn't been successful. Like, this is still a success story, whether it's proven that he's ready for the NHL right now or not. But you got to figure out kind of what you have, right?
Absolutely. I mean, he, you know, all he's probably ever wanted is this opportunity, and that's all he can. You know, and now he's put him in a position where he's in the NHL, NHL practices, and eventually he'll have NHL games, you know, and that's what we want for every player. You have to be open-minded, whether you're a free agent like Mark Giordano or a sixth-round pick like myself or a sixth-round pick like Rory Cairns. Like, somebody needs to give you a chance, but you need to earn it. Like, you need to go in there and play well enough to say, okay, we need a player. This is the player that fits that spot, and bring him up, and then, you know, given him an opportunity. The one thing I always think, that if we're going to bring these guys up, you want to put them in a chance to position to succeed. Whether if you're an offensive guy, you'd like to put them in offensive situations. If you're defensive guys, you want to put them on the penalty kill in defensive situations and see what they can do best, and not try to ask them to do too much or too little, because it is hard, especially for an offensive guy. You need to touch the puck. You need to have the puck a little bit. You need to feel good about it. 5 or 6 minutes, you ask Jerome, you know, he used to say, well, you can play any amount of time. And then later in his career, he's like, my minutes are way down. This is not easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It is hard. It, you know, you sit on the bench. If you're in the stands, you know what it's like after about halfway through the game. If you haven't gone out and they put you out there, it's like when you stand up, oh, I got to go get something to concessions. You're a little stiff. That's how you are from the bench.
And right.
It's not a great feeling. Or go win that draw. You haven't been out there in 10 minutes. Really? Okay. You know, and you're, that's your job. So, you know, I do think it's an opportunity for him, but just a great, great story. I mean, and well-deserved, because he's done it all. I mean, and would I have liked to got him in some exhibition in 100? I wish everybody could play because I think it's so valuable to get everybody in the games. We have a bigger, you know, we had a lot of guys in camp and maybe in the future try to figure out a way to get them all in, but it's hard.
You just didn't want to be accused of playing favorites with the fellow sixth-round picks. That's what I think that's what's happening here.
I do love the sixth-round picks.
You were a big fan of Mange, too. Mange, you always liked Mange.
Mange, yeah. Sixth-round picks, that's the diamonds in the rough.
Well, while we're on the topic of Cairns, based on what we saw today in practice, and a little tough to maybe read too much into it because Michael Backlund took a maintenance day, but we saw Yegor Sharangovich down the middle. He's been on Connor Zary's wing for the last little while. What's your assessment of he's such a versatile guy, so what's your assessment on where to use Yegor in terms of center or wing?
It's a tough, he's probably better in wing,
okay,
but he can play center. So if I had to, you know, it's such a tough one because you want him to have the puck a little bit more, and I think you saw in the Anaheim game where he got to touch it more. He had some really good looks and really good chances. Unfortunately,
two posts.
Yeah. I think he had the crossbar or post. I couldn't from where I was sitting. I really couldn't tell where it hit, but you know, beat the goalie and then off the bar. So, you know, I do know if you play center, you're going to have the puck more. Ryan's open to it. I again, we'll see how it goes, and that's what we let. You know, it's easy for me to sit upstairs and I'll critique whatever Ryan does. Well, we should have done this or we should have done that. So, but no, I think, you know, Ryan and the staff will kind of go through and figure out if Yeager is going to be in the middle or play wing, and then we'll go from there.
The fact that, you know, you bring up Rory, you've brought up Jacob Pelche, and he's been in the lineup pretty much the entire way through and has been a nice fit and has found himself a top nine role. And you know, you could have brought up whether it was a Sam Hanzek or there's some other options you could have brought up. You have to feel pretty good about the way the American League feeding system is working right now, too, I'd imagine.
Well, it's great. I mean, you know, when you're in this situation, your team's in first place and everybody's playing well. I mean, Dryden Hunt's been excellent down there. You know, Sam Hanzig. Yeah, I mean, you can just go through this. You got Stromgren. You know, you got Klapka. There's lots of different guys we could have brought up. And Clark Bishop's been excellent for us, you know. And I think he would have been a little bit different role, but he would be a guy in the mix. So, I mean, the one thing is it's exciting when you have all those young guys down there pushing and really – and you're, you know, in my position – if anything does happen, I feel very comfortable, and especially on defense, too. We have two or three guys playing so well on defense down there. And obviously, I've said it many a times, Cooley's probably the MVP of the American League right now, the way he's playing. If it ended today, I would say he'd be the MVP of the league. So you have all these things going on down there, and it's nice, and you never want to have an injury, but it is an opportunity for someone else. I mean, and today it's Rory Cairns, and, you know, we'll see how we move forward.
We're chatting with Craig Conroy, Calgary Flames general manager. We didn't, like, the plan was not to bring you on to talk about Zary or to talk about Cairns like that. That's just the timing has worked out that way. We wanted to bring you on because this was supposed to be now the midway mark of the season. Obviously, Wednesday doesn't get played, but that would have been 41 with 41 to go. But before we get into kind of a talk about the first half of your season, can you just tell us a little bit about, I mean, you lived in LA, you played there, and then were there as those Southern California wildfires were really starting to spread and become a massive thing. Just what was Tuesday and Wednesday like for you and the group?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, you know, when you're there, you're kind of, you can see the fires and see the smoke, and then you're watching on TV. It was devastating how it just, and the winds were just picking up and just moving it, and then the winds would be shifting, and, you know, and it was amazing. I took some pictures as we were leaving that night, just from the sky, to see, like, it's a wall of flames, you know, and you just hoping everyone's safe, and, you know, obviously lots of people have lost their homes, and it's devastating. It really is. And, you know, I can't even imagine what's happening there, you know. And then I have some friends, luckily the ones that I have weren't in the fire areas, but they had lots of friends that have lost their homes, and, you know, but they were able to get out. And I mean, the most important thing is them and their animals, and they got out, but you know, not to have anything, it's I can't even imagine.
Makes a like it certainly makes the whole idea of playing a game on Wednesday night kind of secondary. That but the group was preparing to play. Like that day for you and the team must have been a complete whirlwind.
Well, you know, we woke up in the morning. I mean, obviously, you could smell the smoke all night in the hotel. And, you know, we wake up in the morning, so obviously we started making phone calls. And at 9 o'clock, it was still a go. So everything was good until, I think it was about 11. The guys were over. I stayed at the hotel. I was just making the calls, and then I just called Ryan and said, hey, we're canceling. Tell them to pack up. Tell the trainers to start getting ready. We're going to get out of here because we didn't know when we were going to be able to leave. We just wanted, you know, the NHL recommended that we should leave as soon as possible. So we were getting ready to go, and that was the plan. So, yeah, we really didn't know other than that, you know, this is what we got to do, and we're going to get home. And yep. It ended up getting delayed quite a bit. So it was a late night anyways. But, yeah. You know, we definitely you know, I felt for the people and just to kind of see all the devastation. It's just heartbreaking.
Did you ever have one postponed as a player for weather or a disaster like this or anything?
We had the lights go out, and I think when I was a visitor in St. Louis,
okay,
the lights went out. We took some, but it just got going again. Power mm-hmm. went out, but then power came back on. But I've never had. I know the Flames were maybe in Denver.
That's the only one I remember.
Right. Yeah,
I was in LA though. I remember because I remember texting Drum like, "What's going on here? You know what?" He was like, "Oh, the weather. Can't play. We're gonna
and
miss
that was
the game."
That was a big snowstorm bearing down. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah, that was a big snow. But no, I've never. You know, my whole career, this was the first one that I already, okay, it's canceled, let's go. But it was definitely the right thing to do with, you know, it wouldn't make any sense to play a game that night.
I'm just going to quickly do the quick math just so that I am accurate. You are 48.8% through the season. So we can basically call that. We can basically call that the midway mark.
We'll round up.
Yeah, we'll round up.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue if we call it our 48.8% check-in with the GM.
It may not hit the headlines the same way. How would you evaluate the first half of the season? You're right there fighting tooth and nail for a playoff spot, and you've got 42 games to go. Like, how would you sum up the first few months of the season?
Overall, very happy with the team. Very happy with the way the guys are. They compete every night. The way they battle. We're in games. We're not scoring as many goals as like. We're not killing as many penalties as what I might like right now. But we're doing lots of good things. And the young guys have come in and played real well. And our veterans leadership group has been excellent. So, you know, they've put us in a chance where we're battling for a playoff spot. And that's what we, you know, I know no one maybe believed that at the beginning of the year. We were picked pretty low in the standings and they weren't expecting much, but I give this group a lot of credit coming together and saying, well, we're going to prove some people wrong, and that's all they can do, you know. And I bet you there's only been four or five games where I'm like, ooh, I did not like that game.
I look back to 14-15 and that was a team that nobody gave a chance to be in a playoff spot, and we all know what happened there. But you know, I remember thinking around midseason, like, everything has gone right for this team. Like, maybe aside from that losing skid, like, everything that could go right has gone right. This guy's playing so far over his skis and yada yada. Is there some excitement or optimism that comes from the fact that there's still, I think, quite a bit of room for growth for this current group?
For sure. I mean, that's the one thing that I think, you know, I think the emergence of Kadri and Huberdeau as a combo, we tried it so many times, it didn't work. And I think, you know, I actually, it might have been Pat that said, they hang out more now. You know, they have a closer bond off the ice. I'm like, that does make some sense that, you know, and you do see them together more, talking more and doing more. And they push each other, and they're older guys, and they want to win. I mean, that's one thing. Both those guys are gamers, and at the big stage, they want to take it to another level, and then they would love nothing more than to prove everybody wrong. All the experts in their minds, okay, look, guys, we're right there, and we're halfway through. They've put us in a good spot. It's going to be a long second half, and then there's going to be a lot of games. I mean, especially with the Four Nations, it's going to be condensed. Obviously, don't want to have any injuries because we can't really afford to have injuries, and the Zari, you know, the ones we've had, they've been very hurt. It's hurt the team, but we find a way, and that's all we can do. You know, now we gotta get moving forward, and whoever's going to step in for Zari, then that's, we got to have him do it. But you're right. I still think there's more room for our guys to take another step. I do love where Matt Coronado's game's gone. You know, after the recall, it was only one game. But, you know, everybody's like, makes it sound like he's down
only
there.
One game.
Yeah. It makes it sound like he was down there forever.
I had to check for a second to see what finger he was holding up. But it was one, the index. Yeah,
one,
it was the
one
index.
Game. You know, I remember thinking, but it was you know, and I always say it was one where we were, the coaches weren't going to play him. I said, well, if you're not going to play, you know, then we're going to send him down to get him playing. And then he got the call right back up, and he's been so good since. So, you know, it's all these little things, though. You know, you're always trying to do what's best. I know the players don't feel like you were, by sending him down, they don't feel like that's the best thing for him. But, you know, and it was one game. But I do think it was, hey, go down there, play. Well, he scored a couple goals, and we brought him right back. But I think, when you have all these guys that we've been calling up, giving a chance, I think the other young guys that are down there know, okay, if I play well, I'm going to get an opportunity here. So, yep. You know, and I think that's why we're having a lot of success down there, just because of that.
Wow. And now Karen's that opportunity.
Yeah.
Pelche was playing well. Dewar was one of the leading scorers, got the opportunity. So that's an important precedent to set, isn't it?
Well, you want to give guys, you know, you just don't want to say, well, if you play well, you're going to get a chance. You actually have to do it. You have to show them, because if not, they're not going to believe you.
Right.
And you want to be true to your word. Hey, you play well. When we send them down, if you play well, we're going to call you back up. And all these guys have done it. Walker Dewar was playing great. I mean, the one thing with Walker, with his size, speed, everything, it brings a different element to our team. And when he's on his game, he's very, very effective out there.
We're chatting with Craig Conroy. He's the GM of the Calgary Flames. We're less than 2 months now from the trade deadline. Now that we're kind of at the halfway mark, that and into the new year, that kind of becomes the next big thing on the horizon. Like, but January 10th right now, do you even have your kind of playbook set? Or is that, in terms of the deadline, is that something that's still very much developing in terms of how you want to deal with that?
I mean, I think you're always trying to improve your team, whether it's September, if it's now, if it's moving forward. The one thing is, it's a little bit more tricky when you have so many teams fighting for these spots, and everybody, the goal is to make the playoffs. I mean, when you do something or you make a move, it sends a message to your team. So you don't want to just make a move to make a move. You want to do something. At this point, we would love to, if we could help the team and get better, we would do it. But Ray, you know, but every team's doing the same thing. They're all trying to help themselves right now. And I don't think there's really sellers out there, you know? So yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you don't just want to do something to make a move, you want to get the right player and the right piece. And then that you feel like, okay, this is something that could help us moving forward in the future.
Right. That's the important part, yeah. Right? It's still with the bigger picture and the plan in mind when you're talking about that.
Right. And you know, and that's the thing. Instead of, you know, Zari getting hurt and just trying to go and find someone, you know, the plan's always been to give our internal guys an opportunity to see if they can fill that void first in that hole. And then that's kind of been our philosophy. And, you know, we're going to stick to it.
Yep.
As we talk about, you know, trade deadline, I remember you saying last year after the deadline passed, and I've heard you say it multiple times, like you kind of cringe when there's a bunch of rumors about your guys. You know what the speculation can do to a player. I had a conversation with Rasmus Anderson today. I know Eric Francis did as well. Like, there has been debate over the future of Rasmus Anderson for months and months and months already. And he, you know, his message was kind of, hey, I love being in Calgary, but it's out of my control. I'm wondering, what can you tell us about how you'll plan to kind of approach the future with Raz?
Well, I think the one thing is we're going to sit down and just talk at some point. You know, right now during the season, you know, you can't do anything until July 1st anyways. But, you know, Ras knows how much we like him, how much he means to the team. Just if you look even how much he just plays and how big a part of it is. You know, he wears a letter on the team. He's part of that leadership group that I'm talking about. Why we're here at this point, you know, I know people didn't think we were going to be here, but they all believe in each other. We have a good group of guys, and they want to be here. So with that, that's why you've had some success this year. And hey, we don't outscore teams. It's a tight checking way we play, and you don't have a lot of wiggle room for mistakes. So, you know, that's the one thing that it's hard to, we want to make it hard on another team to come and play against us. So if we're hard, they're like, oh, this is going to be a low scoring, but that's the way we want it to be. You know, we want to make it where it's not run and gun, and we need to make it tight and hard. And I think that's what Huss has instilled in the guys, how we track, how we back pressure, how we get pucks out of the zone, what we need to do. And, you know, we would love to score 5-6 goals a game, but it just, you know, I forget how many games where we didn't even get 4. So,
yeah, right.
You know, but we're still winning games. So the guys are learning how to play close hockey games, which is even better for our young guys to say, okay, these are all close games, you know, as you move forward. And eventually when you get in the playoffs and then you go on from win rounds, because then the games really get tight. And there isn't a lot of high-scoring games. And that's what that's what they're learning right now, which I think is going to be good for them in the future.
Do you – just one more on Raz, if you don't mind. Do you worry any less about the toll that speculation – I know these aren't necessarily rumors. It's more like a debate about the best course of action. But it's not coming from a place where people are saying, trade Raz because we don't like him. It's coming from a place where people are essentially saying – look at the value a player could have. So as a GM, would you worry less about the sort of impact that might have on him? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing is everybody needs players. You know, like, we got rid of a lot of players last year. We still need players, and we want people that want to be here. And that's those are the conversations that you have with Ras at the end of the year, and kind of see where he's at and where we are at the end of the year too. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we still got a lot of hockey to play. I mean, we're halfway through, and it feels like we've been going nonstop up to this point, and I know it's going to get busier. With that, you know, especially I looked at that March, it's a lot of hockey. I've never seen that much.
Let me ask you one. Like you said, halfway or 48.8% of the way through the season. 48.8. You've got a young goaltender whose name is going to pop up in a lot of mid-season award predictions as a Calder Trophy hopeful. I'm going to ask, you know, sort of a two-parter, one being what have you seen out of Dustin as he's put himself in that conversation? But the second part being, how's he sort of handling the hype and all the buzz that he's generating?
Well, it's always been around him. I mean, it really has. I mean, from Rookie of the Year in the American League to MVP of the American League to the top goalie for I don't know how long in the CHL. And, he's just lived this. I mean, this is just what he does, but he's very focused. He's very driven. He's got a great, you know, I've been fortunate to be around lots of great goaltender, whether it's Grant Fuhr, Patrick Waugh, Mike Vernon, Kipper, you know, they have a way they do things. They're all different. Patty's more fiery, you know, Grant's very laid back. I think Mike Vernon's in the middle. Kipper's quiet, but he's got a fire in him too, but they could, mentally, they were all very strong in their own way, and they in the belief in themselves. And then, okay, I have a bad game. How to let that go? Some people can't. Some people can. I've seen goalies that can't do that I've played with. And it makes you a little nervous when he's in there because you're like, oh, this could go bad. You know, we have to do better for him. We got to work harder. Don't give up any odd man rushes or chances or shots. You know, we want to help him, but you know, when you have a guy you feel comfortable and he's got that mindset, you know, that he's, okay, I might have a bad game here. I'll be better next game. You know, he can let it go, which is a very good thing. But with that said, you know, I think about, I hear his name. I don't hear his name enough,
okay,
really, in my mind.
You're not listening to Flames talk enough.
Oh,
Greg.
Maybe not. You know, I'm listening to who's putting everyone else's names out there. And it's a little, you know, my thing is for a goaltender, winning games, you don't get to get any empty net points. You don't get any power play points. You don't get to lose 10 games, but you get 15 points. Like, in a row. Like,
right.
You know, a little bit, I feel, and I'm a forward, and so I can, I'm going to, yeah, if we had a forward here, I might be saying it differently, but because I have a goalie, and who are you comparing him to? There's not that many rookie goalies out there, so you're kind of comparing him to the top goalies in the league. You know, and that's where you're looking at his numbers. Okay, where would you, you know, so if you just went just rookies, goalies, I don't know how many there are. Maybe Pat would be able to tell me, but I don't know how many there are. And they're only comparing him against players that are out, whether a defenseman that's getting lots of points or a forward. But I'm thinking to be able to get power play points, to be able to get those empty netters. I said there is, you know, maybe we should make a rule 5-on-5 points without empty netters. You know, and then see where everybody's at, because he's always the one under the gun in the shootout, in everything, you know, and when he gets a big win, I think it's worth more.
The only, I mean, they're only other rookie goalies who have played similar workloads are Anonin with Colorado and Nashville, and Kolesov, who's played 11 games, started 11 games for Philadelphia this year. Otherwise, Wolf's got 21 starts, the next one's 14. So in terms of rookie goalies, he's been the one getting the workload.
Yeah, so you don't really get to compare them. So, you know, again, I'm always going to be biased for my guys, and I want my guys to win all the awards. I want them to win the scoring race. I want them to win all that. I mean, that's what it's all about for us. And so I'm probably pushing as hard as anybody.
Yeah.
But he's earned everything that people are talking about. I do think, you know, on a national, maybe that's where I'm going. I don't hear his name as often, which I'm a little surprised, but I do get we've been splitting the goalies pretty much 50-50. And maybe that's a reason they said, well, he's not playing enough games. But when he plays, that's what they have to pay attention to.
Before we let you go, Saturday against the Kings is the Indigenous celebration game. I know that the team had some cool things in the locker room, and then you and Michael Backlund and Don Maloney, a few people were involved in something else upstairs.
Yeah, we had a prayer today.
So tell us about that ahead of the Indigenous celebration game on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because you go up and, you know, Brent Dodging Horse, he kind of explained what's going to happen and what we're going to do, and then, you know, we went around and the women told a story and they did a prayer, and just to be a part of it, it's extremely interesting, you know, when you have, you know, you have your own beliefs and they have theirs, but to hear it, and they said a prayer for the players, you know, obviously we didn't know what they were saying at the time, but then they translated to what they said in English afterwards. And, you know, it just meant a lot to be up there, and the princesses were up there, and to be able to be with all of them. And they went and saw the players actually, I think after practice or before, right before practice. So it was a special day, you know, and it's we're looking forward to the game tomorrow. Anytime you can do things like that, it's something else you learn that you didn't know.
Yeah.
And it's important.
Indigenous celebration game is Saturday night. Flames and LA Kings, one game at home, then back on the road for four games next week, and then officially they'll be halfway done their season, more than 48.8%. Thank you for stopping by. That was awesome as always. Thank you, Connie.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Pat. Thanks,
Craig Conroy is the general manager of the Calgary Flames. This is Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
And now our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Friday, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. It's Pat Steinberg. Wes Gilbert's in a Post Media. And now Derek Wills, the voice of the Flames, joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable. And Willsy, my two co-hosts on Friday have been writing about Rasmus Anderson. And Wes has his latest up at Post Media right now. And Wes sat down with Rasmus and spoke to him about, you know, his desire to be here for the future, and, you know, how he wants things to go. And since she said, hey, you know, I love being here. It's a business. And I also don't have full control because I've only got a 6-team no trade list, so they could move me at any point. It was kind of the cold notes of a really good article from Wes us over at Post Media. And we just had Craig Conroy on. He spoke about how, hey, I mean, like, we've had guys here before that we've wanted to re-sign and hasn't necessarily gone that way. And I think the Flames understand that it's a business, but they want to have a conversation with him, see where he's at, so on and so forth. So all things being equal, if Rasmus Anderson is indeed interested in staying and signing with the Flames long term, gents, should the Flames be looking to do that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not easy to find a number one defenseman, and I think Rasmus Anderson is clearly this team's number one defenseman and a guy who plays in all situations, leads the team, and is amongst the league leaders in average time on ice. And I also think that it matters that he's a homegrown guy, drafted and developed by this organization. He's got a great relationship with Ryan Huska. We've talked a lot about how important that leadership group of six guys plus Ryan Lomberg has been in being that conduit between the coaching staff and the rest of the team. So absolutely, if Rasmus Anderson wants to stay, I think that sends a message to everybody else as well. I think it would be great if the Flames could sign him long term. But, you know, just kind of listening to your breakdown of Wes's article in conversation with Craig Conroy, this organization has had to learn the hard way that if guys aren't committed to staying, like literally almost 100% committed to staying, that asset management is important. You know, unfortunately, the Flames lost Johnny Gaudreau for nothing. And were basically painted into a corner with Matthew Tkachuk and made it what at the time looked like a pretty good trade and looks better now than it has for the last couple of years. But ultimately, you don't want to trade guys like Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk. But if you have to trade them, then you have to trade them because I don't think you want to lose a star player for nothing. So if the Flames can re-sign Rasmus Anderson, great. Would love to see him here for the next 8 years. If they feel like they don't have a legitimate chance to do that or wonder whether or not they're going to be able to do that, then I think other things are certainly on the table.
Yeah, the one thing, guys, that I've sort of said over and over when we've discussed the future of Rasmus Anderson is if you do choose to trade him away, you're immediately looking for a lot of the exact same qualities. Like you're immediately searching for a replacement. I know some people are screaming at their radios right now saying, well, they have two right-handed prospects in Hunter Brustevich and Zane Parekh. You know, we're talking about a guy who's 20 and in his first year in the AHL. We're talking about another guy who turns 19 next month. I think sort of clearing a path immediately for those two guys is I don't want to say short-sighted, it's probably the opposite, but like I just think they're too far off in terms of being guys who are going to play huge minutes at the NHL level. Like if you trade Rasmus Anderson, the guy who is on his way to leading your team in ice time for the fourth straight season, that leaves a void that I just think is really, really difficult to fill at any point. In fact, I'm not sure that Brustevich or Parekh at this point are trending to be complete enough defensemen that they are replacing them. They bring some really, really special gifts, but I'm not sure they're replacing Rasmus Anderson. And so the thing about these trade rumors, and I talked through this part of it with Rasmus Anderson today, it's nobody's saying trade Rasmus Anderson because he's no good or he's not useful to the Flames. Like the sea of red is very much divided on this topic, but nobody's saying that Rasmus Anderson isn't a great defenseman. The debate is whether what you can get for him, the haul that you could command for a right-handed defenseman who can play big minutes, who, you know, brings some snarl, who has a bargain cap hit when relative to his workload, all those things. That's the debate, right? Could you get more for him than you could get out of him? I'm on record, and I'll just repeat it as saying that if I was Craig Conroy, I'd be looking to keep Rasmus Anderson. I see him as the next captain of the Calgary Flames. He's a guy that I would want to be a tone setter through my rebuild or my retool or whatever you want to call it. But I do understand where the other side is coming from as well.
I want to make sure that, like, and I don't think anybody, any of the three of us are, because the three of us are going to kind of be unanimous, but I don't think that we're necessarily hitting the other side of it, because there is a large group of fans who feel like moving on from Rasmus is the way to go, and he's their best trade chip right now. He's the guy that could get them the most in return. So moving him for a team that wants to be younger and wants to contend down the road is the way to go. And I fully understand the reasoning, even though I don't agree with it, and that's not where I would be. I understand where a lot of people are coming from. I do. And, you know, with another player, it might be a little bit different, but I just feel like when you are an organization that has had trouble retaining players for a good chunk of time here, and whether it was Johnny deciding to leave or Matthew saying, I'm going to leave, and the team opting to trade him, or Hanifin and Tanev and Lindholm all saying, yeah, we love it here, but I'd like, because of factor X or factor Y, I think I'm going to test free agency. And that kind of put Craig Conroy in the spot where he had to ensure he didn't lose these guys for nothing. And so I think the playbook is now kind of established. I think that the blueprint in terms of how you handle this, if you're the Flames, I think they will have extension talks and should have extension talks with Anderson starting this summer, starting July 1st, and see where it goes. And then if you're into next season and there's still nothing, well, then you can start to pivot to, okay, maybe we have to now start entertaining a trade as well, because we don't have a contract in place. But that doesn't happen until after July 1st. That doesn't happen until you're into next season. And because this team has had trouble retaining players, and because this is a guy that you drafted and you developed and he turned into a top 30 NHL defenseman in your organization, those are the guys that I think you want to retain as an organization going forward. I agree with Wes that I think the way that Anderson affects things on and off the ice, he absolutely can be a tone setter for where this team is going to go or wants to go as they try to build back to a contender. But I also think, Wilsey, it's a message to the rest of the league that, yeah, we can't, like, guys do want to stay here. And we got a new building coming. And here's this really good player who decided, I wanted to stay here in Calgary. And I think there's a lot of big picture rub off or a big picture benefit to that as well. So I think for so many different reasons, in my opinion, yes, they should. If Rasmus has interest staying, the Flames should have interest in extending. But there's a lot of gray area in there. And I think that, I think it's one of those things where it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out over the next 6 to 12 months and, where we are in January of 2026, where things sit. It's going to be really fascinating because it is a business, and I don't think Raz should be taking a significant hometown discount because he kind of took one last time, and he's on one of the best value deals in the NHL right now. So, he understandably is going to be looking to get paid like a top pairing defenseman, and that number probably starts in this economic climate with an 8 or a 9. And the Flames have got to do what's best for the organization and can't just shell out any amount of money and have to evaluate it too. But I think all things being equal and kind of in an ideal circumstance, yeah, guys, I am fully on board with them looking to extend Rasmus Anderson, because I think that's the type of guy you want to extend long term.
And you do need to have some veteran players in your team. I do feel like there are some fans who want to have a team comprised of 22-year-olds. Which is great. You got to have some of those guys, but you've got to have some veteran players to play with them. And the only way I'm trading Rasmus Anderson, if one of two things happens, if number one, he says, I'm not interested in signing a long-term extension, then you have to trade him. Or number two, someone just makes you an offer you can't refuse. If someone offers you a package of players, picks, and you can't turn the deal down, then okay, fair enough. You did what you thought was best for the organization. But number one defensemen don't grow on trees. And it takes them time to grow as players. I mean, take Rasmus Anderson, for example. They draft him in the second round in 2015. So he spends that 2015-2016 season playing for the OHL's Barrie Colts. Turns pro the next season, plays one game in the NHL, spends most of the season with the AHL's Stockton Heat. The next season, his second season as a pro, he plays 10 games for the Calgary Flames, but again, the vast majority of the season playing for the Stockton Heat. And then he becomes a full-time NHLer, but in my opinion, guys, he didn't become this team's number one defenseman until the 2021-2022 season. And it was a big part of the Flames having as much success as they did in both the regular season and postseason that year. But basically, it took Rasmus Anderson 7 years to become this team's number one defenseman. Is there somebody playing right now for the Calgary Wranglers or somebody that is drafted but not playing professional hockey that has the potential to be a number one defenseman for this team? Sure. But it's going to take time to figure out if that guy is going to develop into that guy. So I just think it's way easier said than done. Yeah, trade him for picks and prospects, get younger. You need older players to play with your younger players. I really like the way Craig Conroy's gone about his business. He's got a good mix of youth and experience right now. And hey, if Rasmus doesn't want to stay, then you have to trade him. If somebody makes you a crazy offer, then you have to consider trading him. But if you can keep him, I'd keep him.
And I do think people should be buoyed, if that's the right way to put it, by some of Rasmus Anderson's comments today. You know, I can tell you in my conversation with him, you know, he could not express more how much he loves Calgary. He repeated several times that he thinks he hates the Oilers and hates the Canucks more than anybody else.
I love that quote.
And he just brings that up as a way of illustrating, you know, that he wants to be here. You know, he told me that he thinks this group, he basically called it a tie between two. He thinks 21-22, that team that advanced the second round before bowing out to the Oilers, and this season are the two tightest groups that he's seen in the locker room. He wants to see this through, and I think, you know, I go back to that comment about hating the Oilers and hating the Canucks. I do think that's what makes this so unique, because the people who are saying that the Flames should trade Rasmus Anderson, they hate the Oilers and Canucks too. This is really not a debate about Rasmus Anderson's value on the ice. It's a debate about how to maximize his value when you're building a team for the future. Could you get a couple great young players and a couple picks for him? Whatever that looks like. That I got to tell you guys, I'm sort of happy to not be the one who has to make that decision that's going to be staring down Craig Conroy, whether it's toward the trade deadline, whether it's after this season, whenever he ultimately makes that decision. I think this is a tricky one, because there's some validity on both sides of it. But if it were me, knowing his value on the ice, knowing his value on the locker room, knowing his value potentially to those up-and-coming defensemen. Like, this is the kind of guy that you don't mind telling a young defenseman, go talk to him, go watch him, go do what he does. For me, the value of keeping him, I think, outweighs the value of trading him. I understand why not everyone sees it that way, but that's where I'd be coming
from.
Well,
and it would be different to me if maybe he wasn't a drafted guy, Wilsey, like if he'd only been here, like, and I'm not trying, say this was Dougie Hamilton, right? Like the Flames traded for Dougie Hamilton. And so in that situation, if we were talking about a similar circumstance and, you know, he was entering the final year of his contract next year, I don't know if I would be as adamant about, you know, re-signing and the message that it would send and all that type of stuff. But because Rasmus was drafted by this team, has only spent his career with one franchise, I don't know. I just think it has more weight if you then get him to sign that second big contract. He already committed 6 years on the first one, and then for it to happen again when he becomes an unrestricted free agent, I just think that sets a nice precedent for the organization and a nice message to other players in the organization and other players around the league, and I do think there is inherent value in that.
Yeah, and I think Rasmus Anderson, if he decides to stay, could be the next Michael Backlund, in the sense that, well, they're both Swedish. But also, you know, I think to your point, Wes, that Rasmus Anderson could be the next captain of the Calgary Flames. And Michael Backlund just played in his 1,000th game with the team. He's in his 17th season with the organization. You know, years down the road, that could be Rasmus Anderson, a guy who, you know, kind of bucks the trend and spends his entire NHL career with one organization and becomes the captain and plays in 1,000 games with the team and goes down as one of the greatest blue liners in the history of the franchise. If he decides to stay, that's the path that he's going to be on. And just as far as a trade is concerned, listen, Craig Conroy might be in a position where he has no option. He has to move him. But the Flames would have then traded four of their top five defensemen from last season, right? So you traded Noah Hanifin because he told you he didn't want to sign a long-term extension and you had to. You traded Chris Tanev because you weren't sure, older player, didn't necessarily fit with your timeline, although I think he would have been great for the young guys, so you trade him. Nikita Zadorov, you had to trade because, well, that was addition by subtraction and you eliminate a major distraction. But, you know, trading four of your top five guys from a year ago or within a year, that leaves a pretty big hole. And trying to fill the hole left behind by those other three guys, I think the Flames have done a good job of that. But if you trade your number one guy, I don't see who's waiting in the wings to fill that spot. And even if there is somebody in the organization, how long is it going to take them to develop into the type of player that Rasmus Anderson has developed into over the course of his pro career? So, it's a tough conversation to have. I just hope the Flames have the option to keep Rasmus Anderson because, you know, I think he'd be a great guy to have moving forward.
Yeah, it sure would be nice to be able to make the choice yourself as opposed to the way things went last season. Good point. Thank you, Wilsey. And we finally have a game to play on Saturday night. We'll see you here for a morning skate on Saturday.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good weekend, everybody.
He is Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that'll wrap us up on our Flames Roundtable on this Friday. Our Flames Roundtable, as always, Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. And just before we wrap up the Mercedes-Benz Country Hills read, Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. Our producers this hour, Shan Vergie and Cam Hughes. And yes, Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, the simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, just minutes from the airport.